Greetings this morning. In Jesus' name, it has been such a blessing and refreshing to be here this morning already, all the way from prayer time this morning and worship service and the devotional and children's lesson. I felt just very encouraged. I think we could probably just sing and do our closing prayer and go fellowship on. And but we have another 45 minutes or so here that I want to use in a way that brings honor and glory to the Lord and hopefully is a blessing to you all. What I have to share this morning, I feel like me and Dennis probably showed up at the same project today. He talked about digging a foundation and laying a footer, and I did not realize he was coming in that way. But I trust the Lord this morning that he's not going to overburden us with something and that he'll balance it out. That is my heart today. I tremble a bit to share my burden because it is a subject today that in our age that people tend to struggle with a bit and at times. But I would want to say this morning that that is not my heart. And if I cause anything else but conviction or encouragement, you're welcome to come talk to me. I'm not here to confuse anyone today. My burden was born a few weeks ago when I went to look for my birth certificate for a to fly across this passport. Thank you. That's how my mind works at times. When I went to look for my birth certificate for a passport, I started realizing that it's not where I normally put it. And I bet you if I asked everyone in here this morning, if you know where your birth certificate's at, you'd probably say yes. Why? Because it's very important to us. Our birth certificate means a lot to us. So I looked and I searched and I went everywhere, high and low, and I looked for that thing. Because I knew without it, I'm not going anywhere. There's no way I will get my passport without that. And those of us that have traveled before know that you ain't flying without some sort of identification. You can fly with a photo ID, but not out of country. You can't go over into Mexico or whatever without a birth certificate a lot of times. Now, I have done it, and that is maybe not the normal. And my point, I'll maybe come back to that later to make a point. But so I realized that, okay, I have to do something to be able to get my passport because we want to go visit Brother Joshua in a few weeks or a few months. So I said, well, the only choice I have is to get another one, which you can do that, thankfully. And so I went and started trying to figure out where to get this, how to get this. And another thing I soon realized is you can't just walk into any place and get another birth certificate. You're going to go back to where you were born in the county or in the township you were born, and in the courthouse or whatever is in that county, that's where you're going to get your birth certificate, not locally. So through that whole thing, this message was born. And if I was to give this a title, I'd probably call it the Heavenly Birth Certificate. And that's what I want to talk about today. The Lord be with us. I feel like Dennis has taken at least one layer of topsoil off for us this morning. Thank you, brother. That was really good. What I want to do is to try to help. Maybe some of us are standing on the seashore this morning, looking out across with our life jackets on and all kinds of bottles and things around us because we want to attempt to swim across the sea or the ocean like we heard this morning. And I want to talk to you a bit, if that's you today, standing there still trying to figure out if it's safe to jump. Or maybe you have just jumped and it's getting a little rough. I'd like to talk to you as well. And maybe you're out across at halfway or three quarters of the way. Things are going smoothly. I think I'd like to speak to you too. All of us, no matter where we're at. And that's what's so good about the Bible and the Word of God, it just fits wherever you put it. And so when I think about this message, Heavenly Birth Certificate, this morning, that's what I want to do, is encourage us in for our spiritual certificate. We will not enter heaven without a heavenly birth certificate. There is no way. I might have got into Mexico without one, but we're not going anywhere at the end of life without a heavenly birth certificate. Maybe in more simple terms, without being born again, we won't enter heaven. That's just how it's going to be. So I would like to look at a few things this morning that, how do we get a heavenly birth certificate? What do we have to do? What do we go through? How can we just walk in the church someday and say, hey, I would like to go to heaven with you all. Is there any way I could be born again today? And after the service, maybe you walk up front and commit your life to the Lord. Is that how it works? Well, how about if we just decide that we're going to try to be a good person, do the right things, say the right things, go to church like the rest of them do, look, smell like the rest of them do, and we're probably going to follow right in through that gate when Jesus comes back. Is that going to work? No. My heart today is to help us search our hearts while we're still here and living to see, do we have a spiritual, do we have a heavenly birth certificate? And if not, praise God, we're still here and we still have the opportunity. Let's open our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 2 this morning. And one thing, too, that was almost overwhelming when I started looking into this was I realized that the Word of God is everything about this. The plan of salvation or the redemption, you can go to just about, especially in the New, you can go just about anywhere and find Scripture for what I want to talk about today. And so it almost got overwhelming for a bit. I'm like, okay, how, where? And so bear with me. I have a lot of different scriptures here this morning. I'm not quite sure how this is all going to come together, but I trust the Lord that He will help me in doing so. And I appreciate your prayers in that. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1 says, "And ye has He quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." And verse 3, "Among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." When we think about a heavenly birth certificate, there's conditions that need to be met before the Lord will ever hand us a birth certificate. The same way in the natural or in the physical sense, when I went to get my birth certificate, they didn't just say, "Well, give me your address and I'll send you a birth certificate." There was some specific questions asked, and if my answers didn't line up with the records that they had, I wasn't getting a birth certificate. And the same way today, if the answer was in our conscience, our heart this morning doesn't line up with Scripture, we're not getting we don't have a spiritual or a heavenly birth certificate. So what do we need to do? Well, let's take a few more looks at Scripture here. You might say that, well, I'm not really living in, you know, I'm not fulfilling the desires of my lusts. I'm not living in the flesh. I'm not, you know, I'm a pretty good person. I have committed my life at some point, I think, maybe. And so I feel like I'm probably okay. What about among whom also we all in times past had our conversation? In other words, our walk of life was in this. This is who we are. By nature, he said, this is who we are. This is our nature, is bent away from God. And we will not get into heaven without a heavenly birth certificate. And there's conditions and there are things we need to go through before we're going to get that birth certificate. There's an answer needed within our hearts before we're going to enter. And that answer doesn't come from me or Michael or Sam or Eli. That answer has to come straight from heaven. And if you don't have that assurance in your heart this morning, there's work to be done. But don't despair. God is good. And he's always there watching when someone, that person on the shore finally says, I don't know if I'm going to make it or not, but God help me, and you dive into the water. God will not turn away a person like that. You will not drown unless you jump with all kinds of things that you're going to take with you to make sure you make it. You just might drown. So if you're thinking that that wasn't you, you're not really living a bad life this morning. Yeah, maybe I lied a few times, but I think I made everything right that I did. But you don't have an answer in your of assurance in your heart. Well, let's take a look at another scripture a little bit further back in Ephesians 4, verse 18. You don't have to turn there, but you can. Here he gives another condition of a lost person that sometimes I think is maybe more fitting for us than the one of just living a riotous life or a sinful life. Because a lot of us grew up in a good home or at least in church where, you know, there was some teaching and there was some, you know, we just didn't live just any life, a loose life. Maybe this verse applies a little bit more to us. Ephesians 4 verse 18 says, having their understanding darkened, being alienated, or in other words, lonely, from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their hearts. I think that verse would probably fit my past very well. I knew a lot of times I was lonely. I was people that had joy and had a heavenly birth certificate always came around with a smile, it seemed like, even in no matter what they were facing, they had joy in their life. I didn't have that, but I was trying, and I think that is probably the bigger thing we face today that is very much a detriment, if you will, to a heavenly birth certificate is the same issue Jesus faced when he was on this earth was a self-righteous attitude from a religious people that he couldn't. If Jesus didn't teach what they already thought they knew, they didn't accept it. It wasn't valid. Is that who we are today? Is my certificate based upon what I know, what I have learned, and where I have came in life? I'm no longer the person I used to be. Do we comfort ourselves with that? Can we comfort ourselves? Should we comfort ourselves with that thought? That I'm no longer the person I used to be. I have grown a lot. I am here to say that I'm afraid if you don't have a clear answer from heaven in your heart today, I encourage you to pray and ask God for that. Because without that answer of a clear conscience, you're going to be disappointed at the end of life. All of us. No one. It says earlier we read all. It wasn't just some of us, it was all of us. And it's a beautiful thing in Scripture. Salvation, the plan of salvation, the gospel is so, so simple that most of the time, a lot of times, we high-educated people, if you will, miss it because it's not. We're looking for something too big. We're looking for something too great. And all we need to do is accept the plan that God already laid out for us in Scripture. And if we're doubting, if we're sitting here struggling this morning, that's not difficult. God ain't surprised. God is okay with that. You shouldn't be. God knows where you're at already. God knows where I'm at with that certificate. And he's here with a pen in his hand, if you will, ready to sign that as soon as you make the choice to jump off of the bank. Or just surrender your heart and say, you know what, maybe I think I have everything together, but one thing I do lack is I don't know for sure where my birth certificate's at. God is not surprised about that. Just go to him. Do the same thing that you would if you would have lost your earthly birth certificate. Look for it until you find it. And look everywhere. And if you can't find it, you might just come back and say, you know what, Lord, I don't think I have one. Do I have one? You should ask that question before Jesus returns. If you're not sure where your heavenly birth certificate is at this morning, please ask. There's a scripture that says that, ask, knock, and he will open it unto you. It's so simple. Don't hesitate. Don't guess your way through life. Don't try to figure out if maybe at some point you had. And this is where I tremble a bit, because some of us maybe didn't have such a dramatic experience in life that we can point back and say, yes, I was born again right there at that place, at that hour, at that minute. But one thing I believe Scripture is very clear on is no matter how you got it, where you were at, you know you have it. There is an answer within your heart that you had got it. You had received it. Maybe you delayed it at some point. Maybe it's late somewhere. You're not quite sure. But I know I had found it. God had gave me an answer. God had gave me a certificate. And I'm not promoting something here this morning of once saved, always saved. However, I think it's a lot harder to lose our salvation than some of us think at times. If you have truly been born again. Now, if you are trying to make it on your own, you will lose it like that all the time because you had never found it. So you don't have something if you've never found it. Let me repeat that. I think if we have an answer from God that we are a child of God, we know it. We don't have to guess. Anyway, let's go to another one in Psalms 135. And there is so many other scriptures I could have went to take us through this journey, but this is what came to me. And after I had these, I was looking and I said, well, I could just read the whole New Testament and it'll be okay. You get maybe just as much out of it. In Psalms 135, verses 15 through 18 say, the idols of the heathen are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. That sounds a bit familiar. Verse 16, they have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Neither is there any breath in their mouth. They that make them are like unto them. So is everyone that trusteth in them. Do we trust in anything that we're doing with our hands? Do we trust in money? Do we trust in people? Silver or gold? Is there anything that we trust in outside the Lord when it comes to our salvation or to our heavenly birth certificate? Do I trust God for my birth certificate? And if I have a birth certificate this morning, do I trust that God is faithful? If he gave it to me, he will see me through. I don't have to get fearful. I don't have to start doubting. I don't have to every day go back and look to make sure that certificate is there. I just trust God. Because I have that peace. And later on we'll get to that. I think self-righteousness is probably one of the biggest things today that take a lot of people straight to hell. Pretty good people. You go out on the street today and you witness and you talk to people and see what your answer is. And I think if we have our ears open, we can go to church today and get a lot of the same answers. If you don't have a clear testimony of a heavenly birth certificate that God has answered you, gave you an answer of a clear conscience, you're no better than the people on the street that say, well, I'm doing pretty good because I help so-and-so and I donate to this person. And I used to go to church with my grandma, but today there's just so much, stuff going on in church, that's why I don't go. There's just all kinds of excuses. One excuse ain't better than another in the eyes of the Lord. And if we're sitting here this morning without a clear answer from heaven, there is no excuse. There is no excuse because Scripture is clear. And if you don't have a clear answer, if I don't have a clear answer this morning, we should seek. We should look. We should pray. We should talk to people. We should try to find that answer. Don't just go on in life and wondering and wishing you would know. You can know. We can know where we're at today. Doesn't have to be today, but I encourage you to make today that you will look. Search your heart. Ask God to search your heart. And if you don't have a clear answer, find one. Go searching for one, because there's an answer out there. There was a day where I didn't have that answer. I was going around on my own strengths. I was my self-righteousness. I had the things in line that you can have in line in a religious setting, but I didn't have a clear answer in my heart that I was born again. And God sent me on a journey. One day I heard a message that sent me on a journey wondering, well, where is my certificate? And that day he said that if you have a birth certificate, and this is paraphrasing a bit here today because of the message, but if you have a certificate, you know it. And that struck my heart because I didn't know that. But I was determined to know. And that's what I would encourage all of us today. If you don't know for sure, find out. You can know. A quote from a writer said, the greatest enemy to human souls is the self-righteous spirit, which makes men look to themselves for salvation. And we might think that, well, I'm not. I'm not trusting in myself. But what if you really take a deep look and be honest? Search your heart. Ask God, show me, do I have an answer from you? And if you don't get a response, if you don't have that witness within your heart that witnesses with the Spirit of God that I am a child of God, then guess what? That probably means you're not. And I don't want to scare anybody. Please hear my heart. My burden today is not to scare or condemn anyone, but to, out of love and a true concern for my brothers and sisters here, let's make sure we have a heavenly birth certificate. Because if we're sitting here today and we're on a life support, we have machines all over us to try to take us to the end of this life. When we die, everything is dead. They take life support off of you, you're dead. And there's one place for that. Please, let's not go there. And encouragement for us as brothers and sisters that have experienced and have an answer, let's not be okay with people that are on life support. Let's remind our people. Let's help our people find the true surgeon. There is so much available today. Let's not settle for less than an absolute clear answer from heaven that I'm a child of God and have a birth certificate in hand, ready for Jesus when he comes back. I had to think of my dad. Well, my dad was in Mexico for surgery. We were there with him before he went in, and he was just, I don't know if those of you that have met my dad, he's never really sad, it seems like. He's always joyful and upbeat. And so we're talking, and he was kind of excited about this surgery. At the same time, I could tell he was really trembling because there was a high risk for him to go into the surgery. And so all of his children took a turn to go in to visit with him before he went into surgery. And it was a very sweet time with my dad because we didn't know that we will ever see him back alive again. There was a high chance that he'd come out dead. And he knew that as well. So it was a sweet time of being able to connect with dad in a way that you never did before. And I prayed with him before he went in. And I told dad, I said, if I don't see you again today, or if I don't see you again here, I hope to meet you in heaven one day. And that's how we left. He went in a smiling man. But when he came, the next time I saw him, he was absolutely different. He was nowhere close to the same dad that he was before he went in. Why? Because he had surgery done on his heart. And that's the same way, the same thing's going to happen to you and me if we meet up with the surgeon, heavenly surgeon, Jesus Christ. We will come out a changed man. And if you have never experienced a change in your life, power over sin, victory over sin, change in your life, something that you know, you're not just guessing that you were probably in the surgery room because other people say I seem that way. Dad knew who he went through surgery. There's something happened. Although when Jesus does the surgery, it goes the other way. You go in a pouting, unjoyful person, weighted down with sin, and you come out the other side smiling, full of joy, peace. You can run and shout again. You hear so many testimonies today of people that met with Jesus and died with him, like Brother Dennis shared this morning, dead unto sin, and they come out the other side alive and well. So Dad is still alive today, and we praise God for that. But that is what happens when we see the true surgeon in heaven, Jesus Christ, is we change. There's something happens to us. We're no longer the same people. And a lot of us, if we grow up in a home where we have a lot of good, sound, godly teaching, there's maybe not this big change, but one thing there is a change. When we meet with Jesus, there is a change. Something happens within our heart. If nothing else happens, at least we have an answer in our heart that comes straight from God, that I am a child of God. If that's the only thing that happens, praise the Lord. At least now we have a certificate. Now we know that God is okay with me. And we need that answer. If we're ever going to make it, we need that answer that God is okay with me. All is well. If Jesus comes back today, I'm ready to go. Not because of my own righteousness, but because I know that I have a certificate. I, at one point in time, I let go of everything. I came to the end of my mouth was stopped, as the scriptures say. And I fell on my face because I knew I was lost. And God gave me an answer and picked me back up. Sounds fairly simple. But I think it is so complicated at times. And probably the biggest thing for us is to die. I know it was for me. Is to die to self. Stop trying to say you're a person you're not. Stop trying to pretend you have something that you don't have. And just simply die. Just tell God, I don't know for sure. Lord, I'm struggling today. I don't know for sure, am I or not. God is not shocked. He already knows. Honesty. What was it, a week ago we heard, or maybe 2 weeks ago, something about honesty? I think it was a week ago. Honesty is almost a root word to holiness. And I think there's so much truth in that. Honesty will take you right straight into hell or heaven. It's up to you which one you choose. Maybe I should clarify that a bit. Talking about saying things I hadn't thought through. I don't know if honesty will take you to hell. Huh? Dishonesty will take you to hell. I was thinking if, in a sense of, there's people that say, well, this is where I'm at, this is who I am, and hey, I'm okay with that. You know, they're honest about their situation, but they're not prepared to meet God. That's what I was thinking. I'm sorry if you took that wrong. That's not my heart at all. Self-righteousness. There's a story of a little boy, and I have to somehow decide which way to go here. But there was a story of a little boy that we had recently that I just can't shake off. When I think about self-righteousness and the way it works in our lives, there was this little infant boy. Both of his parents died, and he was put into another home where the dad was a drunk and the mother was obviously not a godly person, or that the wife was obviously not a godly person, and so there he lived. And so the boy was sent off to sell newspapers to provide an income so that daddy could drink. And every evening he'd come home and dad would grumble at how little he had to offer, but he soon said goodnight and out the door he went, and he went and drank everything away that the boy made. And let's keep in mind self-righteousness. And so finally the boy was growing older and getting tired of this. And so he said, well, I need a life for myself. And so he started not taking everything, which is, I think, a fairly smart move on his end, not giving dad everything and keeping some back and storing it away to try to lay up so that he could somehow have a life for himself. And so that's what he did. And then one day when he was older, he decided that he was going to try to purchase his own business and purchase his own home and go out on his own. He was tired of living the way he did. So he went, he found a business to buy that was within his means, and he knew exactly how much money he had stored away. So he ran home that evening, and he was all excited about this, and he went upstairs, and he went and reached back in there to get that money to realize it was gone. All of it was gone. All his dreams were shattered. Everything that he was living for was gone. And that man had found it and taken it and, yeah, did whatever. And ain't that exactly what self-righteousness will do to us? At the end of life, when we think we have stored up enough good, when we've done enough good, and Jesus returns and we run to get that and it's gone. It will not be there for us at the end of this life. It will not take us in. So that boy ended up jumping on a train and going to another state and found him a home, and life went on for him. Ain't that what self-righteousness will do to us? It will let us down. It will not be there for us at the end of time. Well, I think we should maybe turn to a positive side of things. How can we be redeemed? If we don't have a birth certificate, how can we get one? How can we be redeemed? I think we're going to turn to Luke. And I think we're going to look at an account from Jesus when he was here that is such a beautiful account that demonstrates the love of Jesus and also the brokenness of the sinner. It's such a beautiful redemption story. So I think we're just going to turn there for that. It's Luke 7, chapter 7, and verse 36 is where we're going to start. Luke 7, and verse 36. Then one of the Pharisees asked him, and I'm reading in the New King James, so it might not quite line up with what you have. But then one of the Pharisees asked him to eat with him, and he went to the Pharisee's house, talking about Jesus, and sat down to eat. And behold, a woman in the city who was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at the table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of fragrant oil and stood at his feet behind him, weeping. And she began to wash his feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. And she kissed his feet and anointed them with the fragrant oil. Now, when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he spoke to himself, saying, "This man, if he were a prophet, would know and who and what manner of woman this is who is touching him, for she's a sinner." Maybe I'll stop there before I go on. I want to read on them, but do we catch that? Do we see the two different attitudes, the two opposite attitudes here? The Pharisee that was pretending to be a good person invited Jesus into his house. Why? Not because he saw that he was a sinner, but he wanted to sit down and really talk to this important man. How about the other side? The woman who was a sinner knew Jesus was in there. She knew what she was going for. She had already decided in her heart that I want to be healed. I want to be cleansed. I want a heavenly birth certificate. And she knew who Jesus was and saw what he was doing up until then. So she just walked into him. And what did she do? She came weeping. She was standing behind Jesus weeping because she knew she was a sinner. And that is one of my first points here on if we want to know that we have a heavenly birth certificate, is we have to come to a place where we no longer have the answers. We no longer are willing to try to embrace ourselves up and make us stand strong and have the answers to things like this Pharisee did. He wanted to look good, so that's why he went to meet Jesus. Is that why we want to see Jesus? To make us look better? If we wanted to just be a better person, we want to be able to do what other people do that say they have Jesus. Is that why? Guess what? We won't be. Jesus won't look at us. Jesus won't do the same thing he did to this woman. It takes a condition of our heart is what I'm trying to say. And this woman demonstrates that condition so beautifully. As she walked in, She knew she was a sinner, and she stood by Jesus weeping. And that's the spirit, and that's the condition we will need to be before Jesus will reach down and say, rise up, take your bed, and walk. We need to acknowledge that we are a sinner. We need help. I don't have the answers anymore. Okay, then let's go on in verse 40 here. And Jesus answered and said to him, Simon, I have something to say to you, talking to this Pharisee. So he said, teacher, say it. I'm okay with that. Just, yeah, go ahead and talk to me. There was a certain creditor who had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. And when they had nothing with which to repay, he freely forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love me more, basically love him more? Simon answered and said, I suppose the one whom he forgave more. And he said to him, you have rightly judged. Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, do you see this woman? I entered your house, and you gave me no water for my feet, but she washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. You gave me no kiss, but this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet since the time I came in. You did not anoint my head with oil, but this woman has anointed my feet with fragrant oil. Therefore, I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same love is little. Beautiful story. Beautiful. Verse 48, then he said to her, your sins are forgiven. And those who sat at the table with him began to say to themselves, who is this who even forgives sins? Then he said to the woman, your faith is safe. You go in peace. Praise the Lord. Such a beautiful story of redemption. And I marvel at the attitude that the two different attitudes here and which one got forgiven and which one hopefully did later here. But I just think it's such a beautiful picture, the condition we have to be when we are not sure about that certificate. That's where we have to get to. We have to get to the feet of Jesus with the heart condition of, Jesus, I'm a sinner. I don't know what else to say. And if you don't have assurance in your heart this morning, that's exactly what you are, what we are, if we don't have assurance in our hearts. But no matter how good we are, no matter what good things we've been doing and how long we've been in the same church, and the story goes on and on. And now, maybe that's a little harsh to say it that harsh. I certainly don't want to, if there's somebody here just struggling and you have a sensitive conscience, God is already aware of that too. I don't want to condemn you. Please, hear me. If you feel condemned, just go to the Lord. He'll give you another answer. He'll give you, there's not another, you know, forgiveness maybe, but he will help you. It's whatever we're facing or feeling this morning. God is not shocked at that. Just go to him. We'll read that a bit later here. D.L. Moody said, salvation is worth working for. It is worth a man's going round the world on his hands and knees, climbing its mountains, crossing its valleys, swimming its rivers, going through all manner of hardship in order to attain it. But we do not get it in that way. It is to him who believes. When I first started reading this, I said, that's good. And then I started realizing, well, wait a minute. But then when he said, but, it answered my question. And I think that's where a lot of times we get mixed up, is we do all these things. We would crawl around the world on our hands and feet just to have a clear answer, and only to get back all tattered and shattered without an answer. And when we just fall down on our face like that woman did and say, you know, Lord, I'm not sure. Can you show me? He will. You don't have to crawl all the way around the world to get an answer. Just fall on your face before the Lord with that heart condition of, God, I need help. Hebrews 10, verse 19 says, "Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he has consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised." Do we see the difference here? It's no longer me trying to hold on to that rope of salvation. I think whether, you know, I'm not saying that we don't have our part to do after we're born again and after we have that assurance in our heart. We do. But God cares about our salvation more than we do. God wants us to make it to heaven more than we do because he loves us. He created us in that way. Let's not be fearful. Let's not let the devil discourage us. If we've had that certificate and we have that assurance, we have an answer of that hope lies within our hearts, let's grasp to that. Let's praise God for that. And let's go on and do like Brother Dennis said there. Let's make sure we have all the ingredients in our foundation. If we have an assurance in our heart, if we have that answer, do we have the rest of the ingredients in our life? And those ingredients could be a total separate topic. But I think, first of all, there has to be repentance. There has to be truly born again, an answer of a clear conscience. We have to have that certificate. But then there's a few things that follow that, steps of obedience. And one of those is baptism. If we want to continue on with the Lord, there's some things that God will ask us for. And one of the hardest things for us as religious people is our identity and our reputation. And for us to be able to make it, that has to go. I lost, I would say, probably most of my reputation quite a bit on my journey after I was born again. God had to take me through some hard things in life, and I think he's still working on it. It's one of the things that wants to stick its head out all over the place is pride and reputation. That whole thing of trying to make me look good so that people believe I'm a person that I'm not, that has to go. And that was one of my biggest crutches, was that reputation. And for you to have your reputation and identity in Christ, that reputation has to go. Your own self-righteousness, your own selfishness has to go. It's like Brother Michael said a few months ago, I just love that. A lot of us want to just add Jesus to our life so that we can have a good life, make it to heaven. It doesn't work that way. It's either all or none. It's either all or none. Jesus won't just hop in the passenger seat. It's either the driver's seat or not at all. I love that. I love that. And Jesus means it well when he does, goes to that depth. And when I say these harsh things, it's because I love you. Please hear me right. I tremble a bit to be this strong, but one thing I do not want to do is comfort people without a birth certificate this morning. And maybe I'm a little off balance, and please balance me, brothers, after in testimony time here, if there was something said that maybe was a bit out of balance or not completed, I welcome that. My heart is just that we would be clear. As a church, as brothers and sisters, we would be clear and stay clear when it comes to salvation. Because without that, we're not going to make it. That's final. We will not make it. Okay, I think in closing here, I have a couple more scriptures I would like to turn to. I'm going to touch a bit on the last part of Ephesians. We opened up in the first part of Ephesians. I would like to read the last couple verses here in Ephesians, starting Ephesians 2, verse 19. Now on the journey we went through and some of the hard things that were said here, this is the answer. "Now therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God." If you're that woman here this morning that has went into Jesus and he said, "Go in peace, your sins are forgiven," this is your answer. having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself, being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. It's not me or you giving somebody an answer that, yeah, I think you're okay. A lot of these things, or most of these things, are in the Spirit. When God's Spirit witnesses with our spirit that I'm a child of God, then it's safe to say, yes, I believe. I'm born again. I have that certificate. But don't try to convince yourself when you don't have that voice or that answer from heaven. Okay, final. In closing here, I want to turn to our final chapter in 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. And we're going to read from verse 18 through 24. I skipped over some things here that I wish I didn't, but I'm going to trust God that it's okay. We're going to close with this. In 1 John chapter 3, starting in verse 18. My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And by this we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart. For if our heart condemns us, God is greater for our heart and knows all things. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence toward God. I used to think that that saying, and maybe it still is, if our heart condemns us, look over top of it. God knows. God is greater than that. But I would like to encourage us this morning that if our heart condemns us, God already knows we need to meet with Jesus like that woman did. Because right after that, then he says, if our heart condemns us not, we have confidence towards God. Praise the Lord. If we're constantly feeling condemned, confused, a little bit blurry, not quite sure, let's clear that up. Let's go to the Lord. It says God knows it already anyways. God knows everything. He's not surprised. And then in verse 22, and whatever we ask, we receive from him. Okay, it's not anybody else, but from him. Whatever we ask, if we come to the Lord and say, you know, God, I'm not sure. If we come with a heart like that woman did, he will answer. We will receive an answer from Jesus. Maybe not right that day. For me, it was about six to 8 months later before I finally got the answer of a full assurance in my heart. And that's not the case for everyone. That's just how it was for me, and largely because of my reputation and my pride. There was just some things that the Lord needed to work on me before he was able to hand me a birth certificate. And that might be your story. And if that is, don't give up. Don't try to convince yourself because it goes a little while before you get an answer. Keep knocking. Keep searching. Keep seeking. Don't convince yourself that maybe I was and I just need to have faith. God will answer you. Now, that is sometimes a big problem, is we don't have faith. It's so simple, we miss it. But God will help you through that journey. Don't try to convince yourself. Don't try to convert yourself. Don't try to duplicate or take something and try to make it look like a birth certificate. Wait on the Lord. Knock and he will open. Okay, and then let's finish off here. And because we keep his command, okay, sorry, let's go back to verse 22. And whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. Okay, now in 24. Now he who keeps his commandments abides in him, and he in him, and by this we know that he abides in us. What do we know? How do we know? How do we know that he abides in us? How do we know that we have a spiritual or a heavenly birth certificate? By the Spirit whom he has given us. That's how we know. By the Spirit whom God has given us. And when we have God's Spirit within us, we walk out of the room changed. God will never enter a person and he just goes on in the same life as he always did. That's not who God is. When God does something, it's for real. It changes. Something happens. By the Spirit whom he has given us. Well, brothers and sisters, I'm hoping that this was a blessing. I don't feel like apologizing, but I do feel like praying for us before we close here. So let's just bow our head for a word of prayer. Dear God, thank you so much for this time we could have today. And Lord, as we look at this subject, as this burden I had, God, I just pray, God, that you would sanctify anything that came from me, God, and that you would help anyone here that might be struggling to know, Father. I just pray your blessing on them, Lord. Lord, may you come and be a shepherd to them. May you help them to find you, Father. You care so much about us. You care more about that person than he or she might. And Lord, I just pray that you would, by your Holy Spirit, convict or encourage, Father, whatever we need today. Thank you so much for your word and the simplicity of it, God. And Lord, may you help us to believe and in faith cling to that word and never look back, God. Help us run strong, Father, and help us to never give up on this journey, Lord. Bless every soul that's here today. We just ask that you would go with us in peace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you.